Hello and welcome to the last of the parts of our sleep module, and it's called Supporting Clients to Achieve Restful Sleep. So before we go ahead and get started, I want to make sure that you are aware that we are presenting information that's educational in nature. And when you're working with people with sleep issues, especially those who come in and they're on Ambien and other kind of medications for sleep, that you are really clear with them that what you're doing is not medical advice, that if they need any adjustments in their medication, they need to go see their medical doctor. But what you're going to do is try to get to the heart of it, to really understand what the underlying factors are, and there may be a number of them that are interfering. And it's from research and education and clinical experience, but it's definitely not medical advice. We're not diagnosing and we're not treating. So let's do an overview of some of the things that can help enhance sleep. Let's start with melatonin. It's a hormone. It's produced by the pineal gland. We consider it to be the master clock in helping induce sleepiness or alertness at the proper times. So in an ideal world where the circadian rhythm is fully balanced, what we're going to see is that the melatonin starts to come out and peak in the late evening and into the night. And it's stimulated by darkness. You say, well, how can you stimulate with darkness? Darkness appears to be nothing. Well, when the pineal gland isn't getting the signal of bright light, it gets a signal that, oh, I get to work. It's not light anymore. And it produces melatonin. So it is produced in higher amounts when it's dark, lesser amounts with more light. So in our modern society, we've extended the length of our day, right? We have gone to away from working within the natural rhythms because we have bright light anytime. We just turn the lights on. So it's really thrown off our levels of melatonin, which is one of the contributing factors to people having difficulty with sleep. It helps to maintain the sleep and the wake cycle by causing drowsiness. So what you might find in people who say, well, I'm alert, I can't fall asleep, is that if you give them some techniques and some foods and some things they can do to help stimulate melatonin production, then they may just find themselves feeling drowsy. It also lowers the body temperature in preparation for sleep. It is fine to supplement with melatonin, but it can be tricky. And the general range is usually considered between 3 and 5 milligrams, but a lot of people are taking a lot more. And if someone starts to take it too quickly, too high a dose too quickly, can actually trigger nightmares and cause people to wake up with night terrors. So you've got to be careful about it. In some people, it actually is paradoxical, and it can actually cause insomnia and even depression. So when it's taken in the evening or when it's dark, and a lot of people try it when they have jet lag and they arrive where they're supposed to be, but they want to sleep because it's really dark, it's really late in their part of the world, taking melatonin has been shown to be super, super helpful. So it can speed up that whole preparation that the body goes through for sleep, and it tells the body to shift the sleep cycle to an earlier time. So if you're used to keeping everything bright and bright and bright until much later, like into, you know, past midnight, 1 o'clock, then you're not producing enough melatonin. And here's just another little side benefit of melatonin. Melatonin is really super effective for protection against cancer, and in particular, breast cancer. So people who don't get enough sleep are actually putting themselves at higher risk of breast cancer. So the dosage, like I said, is usually between 3 and 5 milligrams. There is some evidence recently that adult males only need about 150 micrograms and females only 100 micrograms. That's considerably less than 3 milligrams. There's also evidence of higher doses, like about 15 milligrams, preventing dementia. You got to be careful. Again, I had somebody who wanted to do that because she read an article in a health magazine. And we've got to go slowly. You've got to increase that very, very slowly. Excess melatonin can increase the production of ferritin, okay, and that can be oxidative. thought I'd throw that in, even though that's not related to sleep per se. Melatonin boosting foods. What are they? Okay, so this is there's a video, a really cool little video by Dr. Michael Greger, and he has an article, and he lists somebody as a cool video with some charts. So these are the things that he feels are the best. Tart cherries top the list. Sweet cherries are actually 50 times less. That's significant, right? And dried cherries appear to have none. So there's something in the tart cherries that's creating this melatonin boost. Also, orange bell peppers. He didn't say red bell peppers. He didn't say yellow bell peppers. He said orange bell peppers are actually melatonin boosters, as are walnuts, flax seeds, tomatoes, goji berries. He called goji berries the gold star of melatonin. And fenugreek, mustard seeds, almonds, and raspberries. And actually, tomatoes are quite good, even though on a per unit basis, they don't have as much as some of these other foods. The amount that people generally eat of tomatoes is much higher. You know, there's the tomato sauce, there's the blending them up for salsa and all that sort of stuff. So we got to keep a lot of things in mind when we're talking about deficiencies and excesses or therapeutic ranges of particular foods, because some of them you may list, but just how many mustard seeds can I eat? It might be the best source, but it's just so many you can eat, right? You need a lot of tomatoes, though. Most people can. So these are the sedative herbs we're going to talk about. I put on here the Latin name. So we have a passion flower, also known as passiflora, lemon balm, known as melissa, chamomile, Matricaria ricucia, milky oat, Avena sativa, mist lavender, skullcap is Scutellaria. There's a couple of different kinds of Scutellaria. The one that's most effective as a sedative is Scutellaria lateriflora. There's also Scutellaria bisonensis. Wild lettuce, that one might be a strange one for you. Lactuca verosa, hops, lupulus, Valeriana officialis. California poppy is Escholzia californica. Kava is often called Pipe mysticetum. And then there's Magnolia officialis, in St. John's Wort hypericum, and catnip, which is nepeta. So these are all some of the sedative herbs, and we're going to go through each of these in some detail, and I've given you really nice little charts for each of you to have to keep with you, and you can print these out. You've got a picture, you've got identifying information. You know, if you want to go deeper with them and find out all the different indications and contraindications, and, you know, in a really good herb book, they're going to have, page or two or three about each herb. So in this particular case, we're talking passion flower, which is one of my all-time favorites. And the reason I love passion flower so much is it's good for soothing the racing mind. So on the very few rare occasions that I've actually had that racing mind, I've taken passion flower, and it helps put me to sleep like that. After laying awake and thinking and turning and thinking and planning, to be able to fall asleep within 15 minutes is pretty phenomenal. So what does it do? Soothes the racing mind. There's flavonoids called chrysin and benzoflavone, and those tend to increase GABA production. GABA is a inhibitory neurotransmitter, and it helps to calm everything down and support people going to sleep. People do take GABA supplements as part of a sleep regime. So what's the dosage? Well, you can take it throughout the day if you have that racing mind, or you have a client with that racing mind, a high stress, you know, high levels of cortisol, it can help to bring that down. For anxiety, you just have people have a droppers of it, and they can take it throughout the day. For insomnia, have them start with an hour before bed and then during the night if they wake up. And if person says they lay there for hours and hours and hours, so you can have them take the passion flower every hour until, you know, they fall asleep, and just see. And a lot of this is going to be experimentation. A lot of it is going to be experimentation with single herbs, and some of it's going to be group herbs. The heart of it, of course, goes back to why are they not sleeping? Understanding why they're not sleeping. Is it a stress level thing? Is it an emotional thing? So like with anything, with any herbs, you know, you're not looking, there is no magic bullet, but again, we need some band-aids for people who can't sleep, right? We got to get them sleeping. We've got to get them sleeping or else everything falls apart. And we don't want to resort to them going and getting Ambien or some really strong pharmaceuticals for this because there's so many downsides and so many side effects. So passion flower is one of those really nice, gentle ones, and the indications are really, it's really good for those people who the mind is just racing, okay? So with tincture, 10 to 90 drops, that's a wide range, and you're going to play with that. Some people are super sensitive, and 10 drops does it. Other people are not, and then you have to go up higher. So play with it. Don't be afraid of it. It is not It's not dangerous, except you just don't want to have people do it in pregnancy before surgery or with other sedatives because it just might potentiate the effects. Okay? So if it's a tincture, 10 to 90 drops, capsules around 90 milligrams, tea, a teaspoon steeped in 10 minutes, 1 hour before bed. Any time you do tea right before bed, you always have to check to see if they're waking up to go to the bathroom during the night. You probably don't want them to do tea right before bed. Okay? And here's a couple of references. For the fact that 45 drops per day of passion flower extract was found to be as effective as 30 milligrams a day of the diazepans, one of the diazepans, oxazepam, over a four-week period. That's pretty impressive. And those diazepans are just so addictive, and they have so many side effects. So passion flower, use it. Learn it. And here's what you can do with these. If you have any difficulty sleeping, or you have somebody close to you that has difficulty sleeping, just buy a bunch of tinctures of these things and just try them out and see. And even if you don't have trouble sleeping, just see what it feels like. One of the best ways to learn herbs is to really experiment with them. So you could just sit down in a nice, quiet place, think about what your energy feels like, take some passion flower and see what happens. And you can do the same with the rest of the herbs we're going to go through as well. Lemon balm. Love lemon balm. Here's the thing about lemon balm. When you try to buy lemon balm in essential oil form, Melissa, it's like $90 a bottle. It's ridiculous. But lemon balm grows wild. It grows so crazy. We planted it a few years back, and we still have wild lemon balm coming back, and we didn't replant it. And it's, again, like the passion flower, it does turn off the mind and counteracts jittery nerves and stress and anxiety, and it helps to improve memory. And whenever I hear about something that helps to improve memory, I start to think about it's possibly having effects on cortisol levels, because high levels of cortisol just affect the hippocampus and cause the memory to go down. So I really love thinking about lemon balm for that. What kind of dosage? Again, for anxiety, you want to have them take it throughout the day. For insomnia, an hour before bed and during the night. So let's look at the different forms. My favorite way, the most inexpensive way, is you buy a lemon balm plant and you just pinch off the leaves and sniff. And I have people keep it by their bed and they take a leaf off and they just squeeze it and they sniff it. And that can be enough, the aroma. Another way is to do aromatherapy and put essential oils in a diffuser. Another way is drops in a tincture, so 30 to 40 drops, and you can do it up to 3 times a day, but generally people do it if they're jittery throughout the day, but generally people do it in the evening and then again before bed and during the night. There's no rocket science when it comes to this. It's really an art form to figure out the right herbs for a person and then help them to titrate to their best dose. And then for tea, 1 to 3 teaspoons, steeped 5 minutes, probably in a cup of water, and then drink it an hour before bed. I personally love the idea of getting a lemon balm plant. They can keep it in a little planter in their office and help them to keep calm throughout the day and help them fall asleep. And you can always throw it in a smoothie or other things to get people relaxed. So chamomile is the tried and true, right? Everybody knows about chamomile, and we get chamomile tea, and chamomile brings people, you know, to this place of relaxation. So let me tell you a little bit about chamomile. It actually contains 28 terpenoids and 36 flavonoids, including epigenin, which binds to benzodiazepine receptors in the brain. So this little bitty herb that's just been folklored to death and as being so great for people with anxiety and huron.com, this is actually one of the mechanisms is that it binds to the benzodiazepine receptors in the brain. So isn't it a little safer to take chamomile if that works? It also has a side benefit of relaxing blood vessels and smooth muscle fibers. It just relaxes the whole body, reduces ACTH, remember that's like adrenal corticotrophic hormone, and then as a result, cortisol. So what kind of dosing do people do? Well, an hour before bed and during the night, again, if they're awakened, tincture can be 30 to 40 drops. Capsules can be 250 milligrams of an extract, chamomile extract versus straight chamomile. Essential oil, 5 to 10 drops in a tub of lukewarm water. Or as a tea, 2 to 3 teaspoons steeped for 10 to 15 minutes an hour before bed. That's chamomile. Contraindications, and a lot of these have contraindications that are similar. Coumarin, blood thinner, alcohol, benzodiazepines, and ragweed allergy. Whenever you see a particular medication listed as a contraindication of taking a particular herb, what it usually means is that that herb has similar properties and actions as that drug. So in this particular case, we know that chamomile binds to benzodiazepine receptors in the brain, and a contraindication is if a person is taking benzodiazepines because we're going to get a potentiation of the effect. Other contraindications, coumarin, and alcohol and ragweed allergy. So in these little boxes, the goal of those boxes was to give you some links and give you more information and show you some studies. So this was a double-blind placebo-controlled study at the University of Pennsylvania, and they gave them 220 milligrams of chamomile extract daily for 8 weeks, and 50%, 7% of them using the chamomile had a significant reduction in symptoms. So these are not just sleep herbs, they're sleep anxiety herbs. Okay, milky oats. When I first heard the term milky oats, I was confused because I knew plants, but I didn't know how oats actually grew. There's a picture, and there's little white droplets that you'll start to come off of them, and that's the milky oats. It's not, doesn't contain gluten. So what do they do? What does milky oats do? Well, they nourish the nervous system. They're not sedating or sedative. They just, they come together. They're rich in silica, magnesium, phosphorus, chromium, iron, calcium, and alkaloids, protein, and vitamins B, A, and C. What do we use milky oats for? We use it for anxiety and stress-induced insomnia, and it combines well with ashwagandha. Maybe not a combination you've ever heard of before. Ashwagandha is an adrenal adaptogen. We'll hit it a little bit later. And we do it a lot of detail in our adrenal support program for practitioners. But milky oats works well with ashwagandha. That's really cool. The dosage is usually tincture or a tea, 40 drops three times a day. And the tea is 1 to 3 teaspoons steeped 5 to 6 minutes, 3 to 4 times a day. And I've never seen milky oats as a capsule. I've only seen it as a tincture and the actual plant. I don't even know that I've seen it dried when you steep it 5 to 15 minutes. So the general dose is there. And again, it's pretty hefty tea. It's not really a tea when you're doing 1 to 3 teaspoons steeped 5 to 15 minutes. It's pretty strong. What kind of contraindications? An oat allergy, and in some people with celiac. So you really have to be careful about giving anything related to oats to people who have actual full-blown celiac. Milky oats, there's just a list of various kinds of resources there for you. Lavender, we all know about lavender. We hear about lavender all the time. A lot of people do lavender essential oils. But these lavender flowers are absolutely gorgeous, that beautiful bright purple, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And when they're in bloom, I love driving into the hill country where those are out. It's calming and anti-spasmatic or spasmolytic. And there's an active constituent called linalool that's mediated through cyclic AMP. Cyclic AMP is one of those chemical reactions. It recycles chemical properties. So what kind of dosage? Well, like most of them, if somebody has anxiety, you can have them dose it throughout the day, just a few drops here and there. You can do it for insomnia, though, an hour before bed and again during the night if they wake up. I find that people use it well with as aromatherapy, put oil in the diffuser, or even just putting a little bit on their pillow, keeping it by their bedstand. And topically, it's used 1 to 2 drops of the essential oil on the feet, the neck, and the head, and in the bath. So I've seen a lot of results with people who had really hard time sleeping, and they'd start to put lavender essential oil on their feet. I thought that was pretty cool. And then it can also be done as a tea, 1 to 2 teaspoons steeped 10 minutes and an hour before bed. And whenever I give you a tea, it's usually in 8 ounces of water. So 1 to 2 teaspoons steeped for 10 minutes, 1 hour before bed. Just as an aside, you know, a lot of times the tea bags, they will work if they're potent enough. But if a lot of times, if you were to pop open a tea bag, it's a lot less than the two teaspoons. That would be a therapeutic dose. So keep that in mind. But a lot of people find it real easy. I love drinking herbal teas and I love using tea bags just because it's easy. But if we're going for a therapeutic effect, you may want to actually steep it as the actual herb and then strain it. It's definitely contraindicated for use internally in children, pregnancy, before surgery, and along with other sedatives. So there's a study on the mode of actions of the essential oil of lavender, and that was in the Phytotherapy Research, Volume 13, and really good articles, really good fun studies, and you can read about them there. Skullcap, Scutellaria. Scutellaria bisonensis or Scutellaria lactifora. So what's the action, Zell? It relaxes the nerves, the body, and the mind. Their active constituents are the essential oil, scutellarin, scutellanin, scutellane. It also has essential fatty acids, calcium, potassium, magnesium, and B vitamins. So there's a lot of reasons for using skullcap, and it works really well when you use it with valerian or hops. But its action is not just based on some active constituent. It can be utilized as far as some of these other nutrients that are in it, especially calcium, magnesium, which have effects in sleep. It's recommended to do it 3 times a day, including 30 minutes to an hour before bed. I remember recommending skullcap, Scutellaria, to somebody who was concerned because she was doing some kind of long plane flight and she wanted to be able to sleep on the plane because it was long, but she knew she was going to be anxious. And we had her do a brew, a little tincture full of skullcap, and it managed to help her through that. So there's a lot of unique situations you can use it in. So tincture, it's big. You start with the smaller amounts and you build up 60 to 100 drops. Capsules, 2,000 milligrams, and the tea, 1 to 3 teaspoons, steeped 15 minutes to an hour before bed. What's some contraindications? Well, pregnancy, breastfeeding. You're going to see pregnancy listed as a contraindication for most of these. If you're not sure, or if you're an herbalist, you'll know better, and you can always check good sources for that. I know Aviva Ram has a lot of good stuff written on the safety of different herbs in pregnancy. Breastfeeding, close to surgery within 2 weeks, and usually things that are contraindicated close to surgery means because they tend to be blood thinners. It's not good to be taken with anti-anxiety medications because it potentiates it, you know, has similar effect. But on the other hand, if you're working with somebody and you know the herbs and they're working with their doctor to reduce it, you can actually have them slowly titrate up on the amount of these herbs and then down on the medication. But again, we are always looking for root cause. So we're giving you some herbal stuff to do to try to fix the underlying root cause. But you've got to go looking for it. It's contraindicated with alcohol, blood sugar meds, and liver toxicity. So generally, what I say before, if an herb is contraindicated with a specific drug, then it's probably because it has a similar action to that drug. So an example of something like that is ashwagandha, which tends to help people to produce more thyroid. And it's contraindicated when someone is hyperthyroid, But you'd also have to be really careful if you give it to someone who's hypothyroid, but they're on medication, to make sure that they're watching and working with their doctor to help reduce the amount of medication, because it can potentiate the medication, which is good. It's always a good thing. So here's a thing on skullcap. According to David Hoffman, he's an herbalist. I have a book of his called Medical Herbalism. Skullcap effectively soothes nervous tension while renewing and reviving the central nervous system. So that's kind of cool, because a lot of the sedative herbs are more, you know, they're just sedative. They tend to put people down and make their mental functioning more sluggish and their nervous system to just kind of be settled down. And the cool part about skullcap is it helps to relax nervous tension, but also keep the mind working sharply. So dosage, 3 times a day, including 30 minutes to an hour before bed. So this is one that you want to be having people take throughout the day, not just prophylactically for the sleep. You can get a tincture of 60 to 100 drops. Again, you know, start with less. Capsules, 2,000, tea, 1 to 3 teaspoons steeped in 15 minutes, an hour before bed. Wild lettuce. This is one I don't have direct experience with. All the others I've worked with before. And wild lettuce grows wild. And it's not really lettuce. It's not really like lettuce. But it looks, if you look at the picture there, beautiful picture of wild lettuce. And it's strong acting, quick acting, and it's short lasting. So it's like somebody needs a quick little calm. That's something to do. It has an opiate-like response without opiates, but it's short-lived. That's the thing to know about it. Grows wild. It might grow wild in your area if you know how to identify it. Constituents are a bunch of different ones. Flavonoids, iron, vitamin A, B1, B2, alkaloids, sesquiterpene, lactones, lactucoprigin, lactucin, epigenin, luteolin, quercetin, coumarins, mannitol, and hyoscyamine. So you probably never heard of half of them, but half of them you have heard of, right? Like flavonoids and B2 and B1 and quercetin and coumarins and things like that. So what about it? Well, you can pick it and you can turn it into a tea and put 2 teaspoons of it into a cup of tea. You can dry it and then have it for tea later. And you usually do it about 15 to 30 minutes before bed. Okay. The tincture, I haven't really seen wild lettuce tincture. I haven't bought wild lettuce tincture. I haven't really used wild lettuce tincture, but it is one of the good ones. Contraindications, of course, pregnancy and breastfeeding, close to surgery, enlarged prostate, allergy to ragweed, narrow angle glaucoma, and sedative medication. Hops. Interestingly enough, hops work similarly to melatonin, and it works well with valerian, and best results are seen after 14 to 28 days. So this is not one of those, okay, take it and put out. It's not considered one of the sedative herbs. It's more working to create balance. And it can have estrogenic effects. So that could be a plus or that could be a down, right? If you've got somebody who's in menopause and has low estrogen, you know, taking hops with estrogenic effect can be helpful. But if you've got somebody who's at a high risk of breast cancer, they've been on birth control pills, they already have high levels of estrogen, then you got to be careful of it. And also if they've got genetic pathway imbalances where they can't actually detoxify the estrogen, then you got to be careful. The dose, well, for insomnia, an hour before bed and during the night if awakened, 2 to 3 times a day during the day. A tincture of 30 to 40 drops, and it does work best when taken with valerian. Capsules 80 to 150 milligrams combined with 160 to 320 of valerian. And this was from one of those articles over on the side. A tea, 1 to 3 teaspoons, steeped only 5 minutes an hour before bed. Some of them need it much longer. Hops is used in beer making in breweries. So you'll see it there. Again, contraindications are pregnancy and breastfeeding, but also depression, hormone-sensitive cancers, right? When we say it was estrogenic, and you don't want to take it pre-surgery. Good old valerian. Everybody's heard of valerian, but not a lot of people take valerian as used to, I think, because there's some indication that it can be, number one, it can be overly relaxing, which means it can cause people to fall asleep when we don't want them to fall asleep. Or it can actually have a paradoxical effect in some folks. So it's synergistic, works well with hops, lemon balm, skullcap, and kava. It's a GABA receptor agonist. Well, what does that mean? Well, a GABA receptor antagonist would be that it hurts or it blocks the GABA receptors. It's an agonist, which means that it enhances the uptake of GABA in the receptors into the cells. It can cause a paradoxical reaction in a small number of people, but it's small but significant. The action comes from the root. So it's valerian root. It's not the most tasty tea in the world. I remember trying to get somebody to take it. She was in so much trouble, and she finally said, no, just give me the capsules. I can't stand the taste of it. So it's kind of bitter, but, you know, you can get used to it. But you can mix it. It's good that it works well with, like, lemon balm tastes delicious. Hops taste good. Kava is a little strange tasting. But you can make a combination that would work. So when do you take it? Well, same old for most of this. An hour before bed and during the night if awakened, and two or three times a day for anxiety. As a tincture, 30 to 40 drops, and it works best with hops. As we said on the hop slide, capsules, 400 to 900 milligrams, or 160 to 320 milligrams combined with 80 to 150 of hops. And the taste, like I said, is not pleasant. Contraindications, good old pregnancy and breastfeeding, pre-surgery with sedative medications and alcohol. Good old California poppy. Isn't it beautiful? And you see these on the side of the road in California if you live out there. Works well with hawthorn berry. It also contains antioxidants such as rutin and zeaxanthin. You've probably heard me talk about rutin in regard to blood vessel lining integrity and bruising. Zeaxanthin, which is an eye medication or herb, alkaloids, berberine and sanguine, and other alkaloids. An hour before bed, during the night if awakened, same old, very similar. And you know, you can use a lot of these synergistically. So look at what the synergies are, and you can work with people to try to come up with a formula, because sometimes just picking one herb and another herb and putting them together, you're not going to get 1 + 1 = 2. Sometimes you're going to get 1 + 1 = 9. Just because of the synergy between them. So don't be afraid to play with that and go slowly. I love tinctures because you can go slowly and you can add a little bit of this and a little bit of that and come up with what works the best. So tincture, 30 to 40 drops. Tea is a cup two times a day, three times a day. And then contraindicated, sedative medications like benzodiazepine, absolutely. And then if you're going to have surgery, you want to stop at least 2 hours before. So there's a few articles about it off to the side. Kava, also called Kava Kava. I've been to continuing ed classes where we had Kava parties. Very interesting. Synergy is with cannabis. So I could see people, we were around the campfire. I didn't see any cannabis going around, but that's a synergy there. Cannabis, valerian, cat mint, chamomile, and they'll all increase the sedative effects. So that would sound like a formula that you may want to try, although not necessarily the cannabis, unless it's legal in your state, which it's not in 48 of them. It has some antipsychotics or psychotropic constituents, cabalactones, and then K1, dihydrocoan, and methylciscum. So if you see the studies on these, you might relate it back to Kava, but you'll typically call it Kava, you know, a pepper, piper. So dosage. If there's 250 milligrams of Kava lactones, you take 300 and, so you want to look for a product that has 250 collective Kava lactones if it's an extract. And then 300 milligrams daily in three divided doses for at most 4 weeks. Now, the reason for at most 4 weeks, it also has some pyrrolizidine alkaloids. And the pyrrolizidine alkaloids can affect the liver, and they in large amounts could actually be very damaging. So kava isn't something I would use on a regular basis, but you may want to use it periodically, or especially if it's working for someone and you're able to get them some relief, but you don't want to go more than 4 weeks. And then contraindications, liver, depression, Parkinson's, pregnant breastfeeding, surgery. It can prolong the effect of anesthesia, and it can be more toxic to people with Western genetics. Interesting. So there's some studies there. The effects of kava on the wake-sleep cycle of disturbed rats is interesting. And the efficacy of kava extract in anxiety, which anxiety and sleeplessness often go hand in hand. Magnolia. Magnolia is synergistic with an herb called amur cork tree, jujube seeds, and ginger. Now, jujube seeds are like little dates. They're not as sweet as dates, but they're like dates, and I can imagine how nice it would be to have that with ginger. Magnolia, what's the mechanism? Some of the antioxidants are hanokiol, magnacol, and it's basically has anti-stress and cortisol balancing effects. So we oftentimes will give magnolia bark to someone who's having difficulty falling asleep due to high levels of cortisol. And it affects the GABA system. And GABA, is, as we said before, is the neurotransmitter that calms things down. So dosing, 10 to 30 drops, 3 times a day, capsules 400 milligrams. The herb itself tends to be fat soluble, so you're not going to extract very much out when you do it that way with water. And enemas are a good way to get it in. Enemas of magnolia bark appeal to result in higher levels of circulating bioactives. Interesting. I thought that was interesting. So contraindications, pregnancy, dehydration, alcohol, sedative medications, the tropocurine, and related substances in magnolia bark may cause respiratory paralysis. All right, catnip. Love that catnip. Cats love catnip. And it's got synergy with fennel, skullcap, lemon balm, and milky oat to make a really nice sounding tea and tincture that tastes good. Mechanism, there's a couple of things called nepetalactone terpenoid, and this makes people drowsy and ready for bed. It's a mild central nervous system sedative. So it just kind of makes people go, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep. And 30 to 50 drops a day is the tincture, 760 milligrams with food in divided doses. 1 to 2 teaspoons of tea. It's bitter. It is bitter. So adding peppermint or lemon balm can help. And contraindications for catnip are it's risky to use when there's kidney or liver issues. And, of course, pregnant women, because it can it prematurely induce labor. We don't want that. So how do we administer herbs? Well, there's the typical way, like we just talked about. There's the taking them as capsules. There's single herbs. There's formulas. But we can also be creative with it. We can do sleep sachets of lavender and or hops. And that studies have actually shown improved mood and altered brain waves. You put it under the pillow or next to the person. There's diffusing them. So it's having a diffuser in the bedroom, having them have a few diffuser in the bedroom and watching that happen. Then there's a bunch of combination formulas. And this was one in particular that just gave you the doses, and this was called the Happy Sleep Recipe. Skullcap 25, all equal parts of skullcap, lemon balm and chamomile at 25, and then passion flower 15 and lavender 10. And then there's herbal medicine reference materials. There's a lot of great stuff out there. You can go as much in. I will mention learningherbs.com/herbmentor. It's a membership site. You pay $10 a month. And they're constantly putting new information out there. And it's just an encyclopedia of herbal medicine from a clinical perspective. MedHerb.com is a really good, he does lots of good scientific studies. ABC HerbGram, that's really, really good stuff too. We had him come speak at one of our events a couple of years ago. He's awesome. And American Herbalist Guild, that's if you can become part of that guild as well. And here's more reference guides. These, what I did basically here was I went into my shelves and I said, okay, what do I have herbal medicine reference books?